Friends, welcome. We are thinking about intersex people as part of the family of God, and what it means for us to walk well with intersex people means that we understand something about the complexity of the biological conditions. It means that we understand that Scripture doesn't teach that intersex people are a third sex, but rather that there's something that's gone wrong there in terms of the development, but that they are fully the image of God, and that we are called to love and walk alongside one another together. Now, as we think about how to do this, I'm thinking about this especially from the perspective of parents. One of the things that you actually see when it comes to good care for intersex people is that oftentimes parents and pastors and other friends and family are taken aback. Because usually, especially if there's a visible intersex condition, a visible disorder of sex development, that's something that becomes aware at the time of birth. And that often parents are confronted with questions about what to do medically. They are confronted with something that they didn't expect, that they weren't thinking about. For many, this is not on their radar until they have a child with a disorder of sex development. And so part of what I'm saying here applies especially to parents of newborn or of young children. And this is critical because part of what happens if you go back and you look at the history of how intersex people have been treated, that oftentimes they've undergone medical procedures or treatments of things that in the end weren't medically necessary, but were undertaken with the idea that this will make the child more clearly, visibly, male or female, especially when it comes to the external genitalia. And so as best practices in the medical world have shifted, I want to be clear that Christians need to be aware of these things, especially if you're in the context where you're walking alongside of or giving counsel to parents who are reflecting on how they should respond or react when they have the birth of a child and then realize that there's some kind of disorder of sex development going on there. And so the number one thing that I would want to emphasize here, especially for parents, is that every child is a gift. When a parent realizes that they have a child with a disorder of sex development, this can be a traumatic time. Even sometimes in people's experiences with doctors, with nurses, don't always have the best bedside manners and can oftentimes diminish that excitement and that joy that's there when a child is born. And so one of the things that I think we have to emphasize here is that every child is a gift, that God is involved in the life of each and every child. And so even if there is a disorder of sex development, we want to enter into this experience with joy and with hope for what God is going to do. We also need, I think, to cultivate a shame-free attitude and posture. That, again, what we're talking about here is a biological condition. And I think because of this, a lot of people can sometimes struggle with this with a variety of medical concerns where, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to interact with somebody who is, just received a terminal diagnosis. Or I don't know how to interact and sit alongside of somebody who's just suffering as they walk through their life and through their experience. But we want to be really clear here that there is no shame in having a child or being a person with a disorder of sex development. And so we want people to recognize the love of God. We want people to recognize that they are God's image bearer and not to be struggling with feelings of shame as though just because of who they are as an individual that they're not right, that they're not good enough, that they don't fit in. And so we really want to cultivate a shame-free approach to this, which means I think we actually have to talk about it. The more that we maybe hide or avoid or dance around difficult subjects like this, the more it makes people think, well, man, there's something here that I have to be ashamed of. So we really want to cultivate a shame-free posture. We also just want to cultivate the importance of truth and honesty. This is true if we're talking about medical professionals. This is true if, we're walking alongside a mother or parents who are trying to figure out, what do I do in this circumstance? You can be truthful. You can be honest. You don't have to hide something. And if you're walking alongside somebody, I would say advocate for this as they engage and interact with medical professionals as well, that we want the truth out there. We don't want to try to hide something or dance around it, but we want to just honestly understand our child, and we want to honestly understand what they're walking through and what their life may look like as they progress and grow. So truth and honesty is important. Fourth, treat real medical needs. So there are some disorders of sex development that do require medical surgery. There are some conditions, for example, where in order to make sure that urine can flow in a proper way, that there needs to be surgery done. And so we want to emphasize that if there are real medical needs there, that those do need to be treated. Remember back several units we talked about the importance of understanding medicine as remedial, as therapeutic. It is legitimate to say if this child's body is not able to function and do some of the basic bodily functions that it needs, then it's good. It's fine to say, yes, go ahead with surgery there. So treat the real medical needs that are there. But that's not the same thing as saying go ahead and do surgery on the external genitalia. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. There's a difference there. We need to treat parental distress through peer support and education, not surgery. And again, in some cases of ambiguous external genitalia, this is where as doctors look and assess the situation, it's not always clear if the child's external genitalia is a small penis or a larger clitoris. And so because of that, in past times, the tendency was often to go ahead and try to perform surgery there, even though it wasn't medically necessary. And so as parents struggle with and walk through this journey of realizing their child has a disorder of sex development, we want to treat parental distress through peer support and through education, not by just saying, well, if we do this surgery on your child's external genitalia, then everything's going to be okay, then clearly there'll be a boy or a girl. It's important in these cases to be as educated as you can be, but not to treat parental distress through surgery, as though surgery is, elective surgery is going to make everything better and clarify this. You know, so as parents, that means parents have to be willing to walk through some difficulty and be willing to live with perhaps some ambiguity for a time. And that also means that churches and ministry leaders need to be able to walk alongside people through that, need to realize that that's a heavy burden to bear. This next point I want to clarify, assign gender. Typically, doctors can, by looking at all of the factors in a case, can come to a pretty good understanding if this child is male or female, even if there's some ambiguity there in the external genitalia. And so what happens is that based on medical research and studies that have been done, they can come to a pretty good idea of, as this child grows and develops, is it true that they're going to identify as and biologically function as a female or as a male. And so what I'm not saying here is that the doctors or parents just sort of randomly decide, like, well, is this child going to be male or female? There have been a number of studies that have shown that when people do that, especially when they do it in a way that kind of goes against the markers that might lean you one way or the other, that can be actually very damaging to the child. And so by assigning gender, we're not saying they just make it up out of thin air, but we're saying that the doctors, as they do some tests and they look at all the specifics of a certain individual, that they are able to typically assign a gender and say, you know, this is, by all indications, we should understand that this child is probably going to develop as a female or male. And that's important because, there are a number of studies that show understanding and aligning with your gender identity is crucial in people's overall development and what that means for them. And then finally, elective surgery is a later option. And this is something that especially advocates for intersex people are very clear about, that especially when you think about cosmetic surgery in the case of ambiguous external genitalia, that there can be advantages to making sure that you wait, especially as an individual grows and as they develop, especially even going through puberty, that it's important to say, you know, let's take the case of an individual who there is some ambiguous external genitalia, but people would say, doctors would say, well, we think this person, you know, clearly there are some markers here that indicate this person is going to develop as a female, as a woman. But they do have a larger than normal clitoris. How do we, you know, how do we proceed here? Elective surgery is a later option, but that's something that I think in a case like that, many advocates would say we should wait and let the child themselves make that decision rather than presuming to make that decision immediately, especially if it's not medically necessary. And so this can be difficult because for a lot of us, we want things that are clear cut. We want to make things as simple as possible. And so this seems to bring some ambiguity into the picture. But medically speaking, and when we think about the development of the child, it's important, I think, to affirm that this is something that could happen, but by and large is something that could be left to the child themselves as they grow, develop, go through puberty, and even older, and think about. And part of this is because of stories of folks who have had surgery that's not medically necessary done, but then as they grow, as they develop, they sort of reflect and would end up identifying with a different gender than has been assigned through the surgery. But once a surgery is done, it's not something that is changeable or not something that's easily changeable. And so we want to make sure that we're respecting people, that we are walking with them and not engaging in surgery, again, just to make ourselves as parents feel better when we go through this process. Hopefully these videos have been helpful to just get you a little bit better sense of what intersex people walk through, what it means to talk about someone with a disorder of sex development. And as we do this, I again want to emphasize it's important that we function as the family of God. Scripture says we're called to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, that part of what Jesus does is he walks with us, he bears our burdens. And so similarly, we're called to walk alongside one another to bear burdens, including these burdens around biological differences and struggles with gender identity. In the next video, series of videos, we're going to reflect a little bit more on transgender people, understand what it means to be transgender, and think about how we as the church can function as the family of God to folks who are transgender. And so until next time, blessings.